ABC Radio Australia.
Police in Australia have charged some of the crew of a boat that was intercepted near French Polynesia earlier this year carrying several tons of cocaine with attempting to bring a further ton of the drug into Australia. In January, French authorities boarded the MV Raider and dumped almost 5 tonnes of cocaine found on board into the sea before letting the boat and its 11 crew go. Last month, the boat turned up in Sydney after issuing a distress call for mechanical issues and low supplies, and the crew was later put into immigration detention. Now, in an extraordinary development, Australian Federal Police claim French authorities failed to find a further ton of cocaine hidden in a specially built smuggling hide. Joining us now with further details is the ABC's foreign affairs reporter, Stephen Jedget. Stephen, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Kyle.
So, yeah, pretty complex stuff. So they were initially caught with 5 tonnes of cocaine, which was destroyed by French authorities. And now we're hearing there's an additional 1 tonne that those authorities didn't find, yet we haven't yet seen that. So did Australian authorities find an extra tonne of cocaine on the MV Raider?
No, they didn't, Kyle, and it's worth clearing this up because a few media outlets, unfortunately, have slightly misunderstood what the police are saying here and reported that they found an extra ton of cocaine on board the ship. Now, I've spoken with police, and that is not what has happened. The ton was not discovered on board, and the MV Raider didn't have this additional ton on board when it limped into Sydney Harbour earlier this month, escorted by Border Force. What's happened is that Australian authorities now feel like they've got enough evidence to prove to an Australian court that French Polynesian authorities missed an additional ton of cocaine on top of that almost 5 tons that they dumped in the sea, and that additional ton of cocaine remained in one of these specially built smuggling hides on board the MV Raider well beyond January, definitely into March when it was coming into Australia's EEZ. Now, what we don't know is what happened to that ton of cocaine. Police have obviously found the place it was hidden, and they've got evidence, they say, on the electronic devices that they've seized showing that there was at least an attempt by members of this crew to contact an Australian-based criminal syndicate in an attempt to hand it over. But what they have not said and will not tell us is whether they believe that that attempt was successful. So it seems like there was another ton of cocaine on board that was still on the ship when it entered into Australia's waters, and that the crew did allegedly try to smuggle it, but it's not clear whether that was successful or not. In other words, it's possible that the ton of cocaine was dropped over the side of the board and then picked up by an Australian syndicate via boat. It's possible, although I struggle to understand how this is going to happen if the ship is being tracked very closely by the Australian Navy and by Border Force. But it's possible, I guess, that they managed to hand it over to a ship that came from the Australian mainland. But it's also possible, of course, that they made this attempt to smuggle it and that they weren't successful and that they were forced in the end to dump that last ton of cocaine into the sea as the other 5 tons were dumped near French Polynesia before issuing its distress call and coming into Sydney Harbour. So there's plenty here that isn't yet clear, but it is an extraordinary story.
It really is. Yeah, we were tracking this vessel and we were watching it just sort of loiter off the coast of Australia for a number of days before turning around and heading back the direction it came and then coming back again. It was, yeah, we were really speculating as to what it might be doing. So what evidence are police relying on that they may have, smuggled or moved these drugs on?
Well, two main things. One, the existence of this additional smuggling hide. So the French authorities found two, I'm told, relatively straightforward smuggling hides. But then there was this third one, which they didn't discover, where police allege a ton of cocaine was still hiding, which police only discovered about 5 or 6 days ago whilst the MV Raider was in Sydney Harbour. And if you look at some of the pictures that police have released and some of the videos, it's pretty extraordinary. It looks like the smugglers went to a very elaborate effort to try and hide this cocaine. It looks like the area where it was where the drugs were allegedly secreted, might have been underneath a cupboard and through a tunnel, right in the base of the vessel. So, a really expensive, elaborate, and sophisticated attempt to hide these drugs. So that's the first bit of evidence. But the other evidence that they seem to have is essentially messages or other forms of evidence from the phones and electronic devices that they've recovered from the drug smugglers. So we don't know for sure, but presumably police have picked up some sort of communication between Australian-based syndicates and this crew or some of these crew members that they believe points towards at least an attempt to smuggle this cocaine into Australia. But the precise details are not clear. I suspect we'll learn more when this case comes to court.
Yeah, so I understand that not all of the crew have been charged. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Six of the 11 crew members have been charged. So I don't know exactly why that is. My guess is that they've got enough evidence, when you look at the electronic devices and the like, to be able to prove to a court that at least these six knew what was happening and were in some way involved. The other five, they obviously haven't reached that threshold, which doesn't necessarily mean that the other five members were completely ignorant as to what was going on. They may have been, they may not have been, but whatever the reality there, the police simply don't have the evidence to charge them. So that's why only about half the crew have been charged.
I see. And for those that have been charged, do we know what charges they're facing?
Simply a conspiracy to smuggle a commercial quantity of prohibited drugs into Australia. So the basically drug smuggling. The exact charges that the people are hit with whenever they've got very large quantities of drugs, which they want to try and allegedly bring into Australia. So it's a pretty serious charge. It carries a maximum punishment of life in jail. Whether they're found guilty, whether they get that sentence or not, of course, we'll have to wait and see. But they're serious charges that have been levelled here.
Yeah, and do we know what will happen to the crew members who have not been charged?
Look, police haven't said exactly what will happen, but I think what's most likely is that they will be deported. I believe all crew members are from either Honduras or Ecuador. From memory, five of those who were charged are from Honduras and a sixth is from Ecuador. And I believe, from memory anyway, that all 11 members are from those two countries. So the remaining five members of crew, my expectation is at some point they'll be declared an illegal maritime arrival and they'll be put on a plane back to Honduras or back to Ecuador.
I see. And just finally, Dizzy, because we are running out of time, but you mentioned earlier it is such an extraordinary set of circumstances how this has all come about. Well, I mean, where does this all stack up in terms of, you know, cases like this you've reported on in the past? Is this among the most extraordinary?
Look, it is extraordinary, but it is not unprecedented in the sense that a lot of these vessels that we're seeing coming across the Pacific are increasingly sophisticated when you look at the methodologies and the money that they're using to retrofit some of these ships with these increasingly sophisticated hides. And it's a story you see often throughout the world, authorities missing cocaine or other forms of drugs that are hidden in parts of a vessel. So it is unusual, but it isn't unprecedented. Similarly, the decision to let these crew members go by the French Polynesian police, yes, unusual, but again, not unprecedented. There are many instances internationally where you find crews being let go even when drugs are found on board, because basically authorities make the calculation it's not worth their while to try and prosecute these people because they're so far down the food chain. And of course the model that you normally see, and it's I don't know exactly where these crew members fit in the chain of command that authorities allege exist here. In other instances we've seen previously that they are very much down the bottom, which is why authorities say, look, it's just not worth our while to prosecute. So in a sense, this is, you know, a pretty extraordinary, unusual story. In another sense, we have seen these trends broadly before. I think what the quantities here demonstrate, though, is just how vast the amounts of money are that are now you know, able to be made in this route, and just how brazen drug smugglers, you know, are now in terms of the tactics they use to try and get these drugs across the Pacific. And of course, the real shift that we've seen over the last couple of years, in particular, Kyle, as you know, is that Pacific islands are no longer just way stations. Increasingly, we're seeing the spillover impacts, and local criminals and others, including the syndicates, are now looking for opportunities to get drugs into Pacific communities, either as a tool to recruit locals to help them get the drugs across to the major lucrative markets in Australia and a lesser extent into New Zealand, or because they feel they can make a small amount of money on the side. And as we've been reporting extensively, as Australian and other authorities have pointed out, as we've heard from police in Fiji, Tonga and elsewhere, this is just having a really awful and sometimes devastating impact on local communities in the Pacific. So the story of the MV Raider in one way is an extraordinary one with plenty of entertaining twists and turns. But on the other hand, you know, we shouldn't get too caught up in the, you know, all of the extraordinary drama of this. In the end, this is a story of alleged criminality. And in the end, what we see from this alleged criminality, speaking more broadly, is suffering across the Pacific, devastating impacts on families across the Pacific and in the lives of the people caught up in a really invidious trade.
Yeah, and that has all been tragic to watch it all play out, as you pointed out. And in terms of this particular case, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more still to come in regards to these men. Dizzy, that's all we've got time for today, but thanks so much for joining us on Pacific Beat.
Thanks, Kyle.
That was the ABC's foreign affairs reporter, Stephen Jedgetts.